The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the Lord's word in your hearing. He always blesses the reading of his word. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Just for just a little bit, we'd like to ask you to consider something in your mind as we go forward with this thought. Whose table are you at? Whose table are you at? In life, you at times find yourself in a scenario where you can look up and say, well, how did I get here? Amen. And all of us throughout our lives have, in a life way, when I say life way, I mean in life as it is, we found ourselves somewhere with someone or someones, and it spoke certain things, because you don't hang out with everybody, or you didn't, or you do. And sometimes it can be indicative, not so much of just them, but of you. You know, you're with who you want to be with because of some sort of camaraderie, fellowship, or some similarities of life story. Could even be people you work with. And so you find yourself, again, sometimes what happens, people can begin to identify you with who you are with. Amen. That's why, you know, the Lord even tells us in his word, we'll talk about it later, you know, about that word fellowship. And because fellowship is not just an experience of throwing down some food, you know. That, as a matter of fact, I don't even know, in the world, they might use it haphazardly, but for us, fellowship has a particular connotation to it. And it speaks of certain things. It speaks of a joint experience of like-mindedness around, for us, should be truth from God concerning who he is and his son. And that's a long theological statement, but that's what it is. You read 1 John, and John uses that word. We ought to make sure we go back and understand what he means. But then, again, when you look at the scriptures, the Bible has different ways in which portraying this. And you look in the book of Proverbs, you see there that the Solomon, the wise man, he gives certain statutes or admonitions. That means strong wordings about where you should not be and who you should not be hanging out with. And he even starts in the first chapter, he talks about that warning, you know, about how you can wind up with the wrong people. And in a sense, and I'm using the figurative sense, and we'll get back to the other way, where, you know, if you're not careful, you'll wind up at the wrong table. And that word table, I'm not using it just in the literal sense, and that can be said, but it really talks more so all about what goes on and with who it goes on with as people collaborate around some like things and also some like-minded things. And you say, well, it ain't the same thing. No, because sometimes you don't know what you got yourself into. And amen. And before you know it, you'll start beginning to be identified by who you're with. That could be a good thing, but also it might not be so good. Amen. But here in Psalms 23, We've been reading through this, and we've been walking through the walking that is done with the shepherd and the sheep. It's literally, I would say this, and I'm just thinking about it as I look at this, that in the New Testament, and just a couple of times in the Old Testament, that word walk is used. And walk speaks about ordering yourself in all aspects of life. The word walk is a generality in terms of the description of it, but that's what it's taught apart, walk in love and walk in the light. You know, though that word walk is significant because that's what it does. It speaks about how you deport yourself in life and all rounds and activities of life. But now I brought that up because one thing I want to go back, this psalm is dealing with that. It's talking about the very ways of things that you are confronted with. When I say confronted, don't mean something always hard or negative. Just confronted mean things that come up in life. And we share with the Bible class that we need to understand that, again, we love the first couple of lines, the first couple of verses. That was good, you know. We like the green pastures and the still waters. And, you know, we was loving that, you know. But then he started walking through a dark valley, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, you know, it seemed like there was a shift, but it's no shift. It's reality. Right. Amen. It's reality. The psalmist, he uses this and he integrates what the relationship of a sheep and a shepherd, but then he begins to let us know that that's not really the emphasis he's trying to portray. He already told us in the beginning that the Lord is my shepherd. And so he tried to get us to understand how life with God is as we see it illustrated through the life of the shepherd and the sheep. But then as he goes through this again, you see here, he talks about his soul being restored, and God leads him in the path of righteousness for his namesake, meaning his own reputation, that God does this because his name is at stake and attached to how we live our lives. But then also again, you see a seemingly dip. But nonetheless, again, it should not be seen as this an aberration. You know, like, wait a minute, first you're going here, things are sounding good, the Lord is with me, but wait a minute, now you talk about this dark valley, then you talk about the shadow of death, then you talk about evil, but then he cools you out and says, but he's with me. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So these things are going to come up. All right, saints, these things are going to come up. Don't matter who you are, what church you go to, what church you don't go to. Amen. As a believer, as a child of God, as one of the sheep of the Lord, if I use that expression now, you're going to be confronted or involved, or this will happen or come your way some facet or some manner or another. Right. Are you with me? So don't, as Peter says, don't think in that stream. Now, when you get saved and something, you seem like you got blindsided. No, you didn't get blindsided. You just living life. Amen. The difference is you ain't by yourself. But then he talks about this thing about thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We had a little exchange, we was talking about that. And it could be something somewhat seamless. And as he goes from the dark valley and, you know, and starts talking about that and not fearing, and then the rod and the staff. But as we mentioned, he said, the rod and the staff, they comfort me. Now, the way in which it would comfort him, and because, you know, the rod, again, was used as a mode of discipline and protection and also keeping harm away from the sheep when the wolf and the lion came after them. But there is also here, again, you cannot miss or dismiss the fact that he talks about comfort. And that word comfort there speaks of a reassurance. His rod and his staff reassures me. You understand? Are you with me here? So you had the word restore. Remember we said read that preface, that preface part of that. Read the beginning of the word. That it means, and then re means to do again, or again and again. So in essence, he restores my soul, but also this here, even though you don't see it there, but that's what the word comfort here means. It doesn't mean just consolation, but he reassures me. That means he reminds me again that it's going to be all right. But even more so than that, the rod and the staff, remember again, the staff is something that was the shepherd used in a human sense as he walked the sheep and carried them through, you know, their experience that day, that the shepherd was the staff was a support for the shepherd. He just used as a walking stick. Are you with me here? But as a farther vein, again, this is a little symbolicism. A staff also is a word used sometimes as a means of exhibiting or demonstrating or speaking of authority. Are y'all with me here? So you had the rod and the staff. And as I mentioned, though some books or whatever you read, and they say, well, this looks like they could be used as the same thing. It can't be the same thing if the language and the grammar says they. Doesn't say it says they. That means he's talking about two different instruments here. And another place he might do that, but not here. Thy rod and thy staff, and the shepherd certainly does not want to be carrying around something he don't need. You know, if the rod has to have a purpose, and so does the staff. And whatever that purpose is and whatever it's used for the sheep, it says, it comforts me. Are you with me here? But then as you go further, as we walk further through there, he goes here, he says, thou, talking about God, because remember again that we said, he's talking to you about God, but then he starts talking to God for you. In other words, he wants you to understand that this same Lord, even though this is Old Testament, Old Covenant, that's all right, because the Lord does not dismiss himself from his people. Whether you're the Old Testament people or the New Testament church, he's still the Lord. He's still God. He's still Jehovah. It's just that the revelation of who he is becomes more expanded when Jesus comes into the world. Now, I hope you're going to listen here, because you better understand this when it comes to this, because as we said earlier, life is real.
Yes, it is.
And you can come to church and get dreamy-eyed all you want to, but after we're done here, life is out there. Are you with me here? And that's why you ought to get all you can while you're here. Ain't that right? Do all the praising you're going to do. Do all the shouting you're going to do. Glorifying God. Do all that you're going to do. All the singing you're going to do. Because when you're done here, and when the benediction is said, amen, the benediction is something that the preacher or the priest or whatever says over the people as they agree with God and said he's going to do for them. But when you go through that door, ain't nobody with a robe on following you home. So you better take what you get while you're here and take it with you.